8 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning. And my dear friends, if you could be with Dan and myself right now in the studio, and if you could meet the very, very special guest that was just talking to me, and you will. It's incredible. And Dan, I'm so happy that from time to time we are able to bring folks into the studio that are just so brave and so honored.
Well, we're honored, Brad. Carl Mitchell joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. We learned about Carl from Jim Colella, who's also with us. Jim has been a guest on our program, co-founder and CEO of TelServe. So let's start there, Jim. How did you meet Carl?
Met Carl about 5 years ago, and my son introduced me to Carl. He met Carl at the gym. He was at the gym working out, and that's how the introduction took place. And then Carl joined our church and comes to our church. And so we've...
For those who have forgotten the name of your church.
It's Emmanuel Baptist Church in Newington.
That's the one.
Awesome church. Okay. A lot of great things going on there.
That's the one.
Carl, so tell your story. I mean, it goes back almost 20 years. Fill our audience in about
how old
this.
Are you now?
Well, right now I'm 38. And now I'm 38.
And what happened back in 2000, was it?
This was back in February of 2000, yes.
Okay.
I was out just weightlifting with my friends, and then afterwards we walked into media play, and I went blind, thought I was having a headache, went home, woke up the next morning, and apparently it was a brain tumor.
A brain tumor?
Yeah, growing out of my brain stem, yes. Wow. And ever since then, you know, you really don't get to choose what happened, but unfortunately, I just had to deal with it, and you learn to accept it and move on. You know, I was able to go back to college. This was 3 years after my tumor, I was able to go back to college. They originally gave me 6 months to live. Then it was 5 years, but they were totally wrong.
What was it, a malignant tumor?
Luckily, yeah. It was a pilocytic astrocytoma.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't even pronounce that.
Can't.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a mouthful, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently, luckily, it was a juvenile onset of pilocytic astrocytoma. So that qualified me to stay on Social Security disability at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just because they called it juvenile onset, I was able to get SSDI. And if they called it anything else, I mean, I would be having to pay for it myself.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. But what kept you going? I'm sure the when it was a struggle.
The motivation. What kept you going? I mean, you walked in here this morning. You had a walker, and you have your very special friend who is a very special person. He's been with us before. But you've got the motivation. That's the thing. You've got the motivation that God gave you.
Exactly. That's it. God gave it to you. Life's like kind of like a roller coaster. You're going to have your ups and downs. You just got to go through it and see your way through. That's how I see it.
But a part of your regimen is to stay in good physical shape. Is that correct?
Luckily, I was a varsity athlete in college, and so I was in good shape at the time, fortunately. But for the first 3 years after my surgery, I was in a wheelchair 24/7. And then I started going and working out at the gym at New England Athletic Club in Cromwell, and started using the bike rigorously a lot, every day, like every other day, 2-3 hours on the bike. And slowly, my nerves in my legs started regenerating. No one could tell me what it was, and I was just fortunate. And then I would say in January of this year, my balance came back, and I'm actually starting to walk now with forearm crutches, or lost hand crutches, you could call them.
It's amazing when you walked in here this morning. I mean, really, and Dan and I have been talking about you, that you're a special person, and I think one of the things that is tremendous with you is your tremendous drive and belief in yourself. You believe in yourself, or you wouldn't be here today talking to us like you are.
Well, gee, thanks, Brad. Unfortunately, I don't give myself any credit. I figure it could be a lot worse, and I got to do what I got to do. And the fact that I'm not walking is kind of a motivational speech for me. You know, I know that that's my goal, and I know that that's what should be the reality, and it's not, and I blame myself for that.
Carl, how long did you go without your eyesight?
Luckily, that was only a day. But
you couldn't see it all.
I couldn't see
blind.
It all. I was blind.
What
yeah.
was that? The, what was that like? I
mean, that was very scary. Just all of a sudden, just first things start going blurry. Then I saw double, and then I don't remember seeing a thing. And next morning, I woke up and I obviously saw double. During the recovery period in the hospital, I developed hiccups 24/7 for 3 weeks straight.
Wow.
24/7?
Yeah.
3 weeks straight of hiccups.
Can you imagine?
Exactly, yeah.
Which hospital?
This was at St. Francis in Hartford.
Okay.
Needless to say, nobody wanted to be my roommate. Then I went down to Yale because at St. Francis, there were so many complications, they tried to put in a shunt because apparently the scar tissue from the surgery developed over my ventricle drain. Mm-hmm. That caused hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain, and that presents pressure on your skull. And so they had to relieve that. They put in a shunt. That got rejected. They put in another one. That one got infected. So at that time, my parents took me down to Yale, and they did a fourth ventriloscopy. It was an experimental procedure where they drill in the top right, top right, and they shoot a laser in the hole in your ventricle.
Wow.
To act as a shunt, and unfortunately, what they didn't know at the time, when you think 2000, they knew, you don't think it was the dark ages, but they didn't know that area of the brain is your speech recognition area.
Right.
So when they drilled up there, I forgot how to talk for 3 weeks.
So you had to learn how to talk again.
Exactly. And I remember my mother was telling me, she's like, you know, when you were in the hospital, the speech therapist, she just graduated college, but one day she came to me, she was crying, and she said, your son doesn't like me, he won't talk to me.
Wow.
And my mother was like, well, it's not that he doesn't like you, it's just that he can't talk.
You know, just amazing, you know, and we think that we've got problems, and somebody like this young man, Carl Mitchell, walks in here, I mean, and you did, and you talk, and you tell us why you couldn't talk. Some people would have given up a long time ago, but you're an inspiration, and don't ever forget that. You are an inspiration to those of us who can really talk and have a life that we take for granted, and here you are. What an inspiration.
No question.
Well, thanks, guys. It's definitely an interesting trip and a challenging life. But luckily, I get to meet people that are very nice, like Jim, his family. The owner of New England Athletic Club, Bob. Bob, I think he used to be a former Whaler.
Oh, I know who he is. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, they help me out and they give me a little motivation.
And you're giving us a lot of motivation. Just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for just a moment.
Well, Daniel, I want to tell you something.
We're being inspired this morning.
Yeah, and you know, that's the wonderful thing about radio.
It sure is.
You can sit and you can talk, and you can never feel sorry for yourself.
No, you can't. Not when we meet a Carl Mitchell. And again, we're joined in studio. Our Touch Points Rehab interview chairs occupied this morning by James Colella, co-founder and CEO of TelServe. We've had Jim on the program before. And we've met Carl Mitchell for the first time, learning about his inspirational story. And during the break, Carl turned to us and said, make sure that Jim talks about the foundation. So, Jim, we're not talking about the foundation of some home. So the floor is yours.
Well, thanks, guys. And thank you, Carl, for thinking of that. As several of you probably know in listening to this show, that I sit on the board for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. I've got two granddaughters that have cystic fibrosis, and one of those granddaughters actually just went through major surgery at CCMC. And again, CCMC did an incredible job. The doctors, the nurses, can't say enough good things about CCMC. The foundation has been intricate in helping the cystic fibrosis movement, and you know, we've got our Cycle for Life coming up next year. It's all great stuff that's going on there. I'm going to take us back, though, to Carl for a minute here, because Carl, you know, he mentioned what a blessing me and my family have been to him, but you know what? It goes the opposite way. He has been such a blessing to us, and it's amazing how I believe God uses each of us and sometimes our circumstances to move others. And you know, what I see in this man is a man who has sheer determination, who found faith in God, who found hope through faith, a man who just now, you know, his journey has been an incredible journey of difficulty and, you know, things that a lot of us have never, ever had to experience. And through that path, you know, I've watched him for 5 years. I've watched him like a hawk. And this man, there were times where he was mad and, you know, why me? But, you know, as he became closer to God and as his faith grew, I think God started to answer some of those questions for him and started to show him how even in the situation he lives in, he's able to move and inspire others. And there's a purpose that God has for his life, and that purpose is a great purpose. And it's reached, I know my family and myself personally, I have been so moved by this guy. I will tell you, you know, at church, you know, every Sunday, there's an opportunity, it's called an altar calling. If you are moved to go to the altar and kneel and talk to God and have your conversation, you can do so. And you know, most of us sit in our seat and nobody really goes forward and kneels at the altar and has their own personal conversation. But every time I'll peek my eye up, it's this guy going to the altar on his knee and, you know, probably has the most difficult time trying to get there and get back to his seat. But he's always there. And, you know, if I can tell just a quick little story about the CF Cycle for Life ride this past year. So Carl rode in that. He's a cyclist. And he does a great job on this three-wheel incumbent. Well, he decided to take the 32-mile course. He wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to stay on the 10-mile course. But he, in his sheer determination and always will to go beyond the call, went on the 32-mile course. And about three-quarters of a way through the course, he was heading down a hill. He lost control of his unit, and he went flying. He was launched out of that unit, skid across the road, tumbled. The bike went off to the side of the road. Cars pulled over. Everybody was very concerned. Carl crawled off to the side of the road and was able to get to his unit. The support vehicles pulled over. insisted that Carl, you know, we'll get the bike into the support unit, get him back to the home base where we were running the event, and let the paramedics look at him. But he refused. He would not get in the vehicle. He wanted to finish that
ride.
Don't
tell me you finished the race.
I did.
Now here's. Oh yeah.
Oh my.
Oh yeah.
God.
You have to picture this, because so I'm back at home base and we are now getting ready to start the morning's event. The mayor from Cromwell was there, and they were gonna read a proclamation, and there were about 250, 300 people in the audience, and I had gotten word that this was going on out in the course, and that Carl would be pulling in a few minutes. So I let everybody in the audience know what was unfolding, that he had been in an accident, he's okay, but he refused to get in the SAG vehicle, and is now getting ready to head around the corner and come into this lot. And so everything stopped, and here comes Carl around the corner in his unit, bleeding, scraped. And it was, I have to tell you, is one of those moments that moved a lot of hearts.
Well, Carl, you'll do anything for a grand entrance. Okay?
<That's it. laughs> Yeah, apparently, man, right?
But you know something, James, let me tell you, this is the second time you have been here that I have had the pleasure of sitting next to you during the broadcast. And you yourself, though, and you got to, and I know Dan will agree, you are an inspiration, because one of the things that I get very annoyed at is people give up. You can never, ever give up, no matter what you do, whether you're a broadcaster, whether you're walking, or whatever. You never give up, because you can make it. Mm-hmm. If you believe you can make it.
Yes, Brad, I couldn't agree more. And Carl is a perfect example of that, not giving up, you know, continuing the fight. And you know what? Connecting his gift for a purpose and a cause to help others. And, you know, Carl is an individual who, like us, has a mind and a body. The body has been, you know, compromised, but this is a guy who isn't looking for a free ride. And that's another thing that stood out in my mind about this guy's character, is that he could easily go on state, help and get the funds he needs to continue to survive and live. But he doesn't want that. He wants a job. He wants to be able to get out there and be productive and work for a company and be able to, you know, be part of a team. And so he is on a search for a job and trying to, you know, to find something that will fit his skills and capabilities, because he doesn't want a free ride, and he won't give up. He wants to continue.
So, Carl, you want a job?
Oh, of course I do.
All right. Well, this is terrific.
Folks can call us.
Yeah, we'll make the connection.
Absolutely. Yeah. You bet we will.
I have my engineering degree. Went to Massachusetts Maritime Academy, and I'm specifically doing AutoCAD. I'm doing a voluntary internship in Civil 3D AutoCAD up in East Windsor, Connecticut, with J.R. Russo Land Surveyors.
Yes.
Bob, the owner, one of the partners over there, Bob, very nice gentleman. He's been over and giving me a chance to...
This is terrific.
Do some work for him.
Yeah. Carl, we're out of time. What an honor to meet you.
Ah.
Jim, thanks for coming in. Let's
God
get Carl
you.
A job.
God
He's got an engineering degree.
I
get him a
go,
job.
I can go forever now.
Oh, me too. Thank you both.
Dan and Brad, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you both.
And you too.